Microphone check, is this thing really on? Yes, it is. We are back for another episode of Unwrapped. And this is what, episode 15? I'm excited.
Yes, 15. That went fast.
Yeah, and I want to thank everyone who's listening, everyone who's subscribed to everything. I mean, we have been getting really great feedback from you guys, and I really, really appreciate it. So, Janine, are you all caught up on Insecure? You know, the season finale happened, and I'm kind of sad because my Sundays are... nothing's going on. I have no Game of Thrones. I have no Insecure. I have no more Power. Like, it's just nothing.
I feel like that always happens to me in the fall. Like, all my shows break, and then I have nothing else to do but be productive in life. But, yes.
I guess
that's right. I am very caught up on Insecure, and I must say, I enjoyed it.
Yeah, no, this season was really great, but one episode really caught me off guard, and I think it was like, you know, everyone was pretty much laughing about it. It was the episode that she was with Daniel, and she, you know, first they had a conversation. Her girlfriends and her had a conversation about oral sex, and then she was with Daniel. She was saying, you know, okay, I'm going to do it to give it to him, whatever. And she went down on him, and he ended up, you know, ejaculating in her eye, right?
That was a very nice way of putting it. Very clean.
Very clean. So she got super upset and just basically wild out on him like, yo, what is the matter? She thought it was like super disrespectful. And she was stormed out, and she just was like, you know, then they spoke in a conversation afterwards, and, you know, he said, I'm sorry. He thought it was funny. And she's like, you think this is funny? You know, and it got into another argument about it because he's just like, I mean, you know, I guess you know how I feel because, you know, she had done some shady stuff to him, and she was like, oh, you thought this is retaliation, right? So she took it to another level, thinking that it was kind of payback.
Yeah, I was actually very surprised. I didn't see that coming, but yeah, he ejaculated in her eye. Mm-hmm. I was appalled.
You were appalled. You were super offended.
I was grossed the fuck out. Yes.
Really? So, you know, it's funny, right? With like, so it started making me think about just the sexual taboos that as African-American women, we kind of like hold on to, right? Like certain things we don't speak about. Certain things are like, you know, when we talk about our Caucasian sisters, it's always like, oh yeah, that's what they do. You know, they've been doing that since they were 14 years old, right? Like that's in our heads. That's kind of like what we think. That's what Black men think. And that's kind of just like what we think is the norm.
Yeah, to a certain extent, but I mean, I am not as sexually free as some people, and I'd like to think that I'm a little more conservative. So what is the norm for me may not necessarily be for others. So some people may have watched that episode and felt like, oh yeah, you know, whatever, it's just an eye. I, on the other hand, was like, you know.
Really? I see. I would have never thought that you were sexually conservative. I'm thinking and not to say that you're like freaky deaky all over the place, but I would think that because you've been married and, you know, and it's just kind of like, hey.
I think I'm not going to say the problem, but what happens is when you start having sex early, you feel shameful about it, in my opinion. So there are things that you do, but because it's not your husband, you feel like, oh, I want to save that. So then when you get married, you have to now make that switch. And it doesn't always happen so easily. Certain things are innately you know? And if you're conservative, you may be a little more conservative in the bed. And that's not saying that you're not open, but you might just not be getting nothing in the eye.
Well, you know, it's because like I was a late bloomer, right? I was a late bloomer, Mike. Don't give me that eye. Like, yeah, we know that. Well, I was a late bloomer when it came to the whole oral sex thing, right? I was like in my 20s. I was like, okay, this is the special person, and you know, I think I'm gonna marry him. So this is why I'm doing this. And I mean, because I was scarred from when I was like, you know, my best friend and I have known each other since I was 14 years old, right? And he's a guy. So anything he would say, he's like, do not give head. That's all he would say to me. Like, because the way he made me think about women who were in high school who were doing it was just like, they're whores, you know? And it just comes like this whole slut shaming situation that happens when it comes to, like, you know, our community.
Okay, so hi, I'm Mike, producer. So the context that Sanjay is not providing is that she went to a Catholic school.
Yes.
And of course, we feel like white Catholic girls are a little more free sexually. So why do you feel like your best friend told you don't give head?
His whole thing was like, he was protecting me, right? And maybe at that time, you know, as I said, I think in African American community, it was just like, if you look at Insecure, they're in their 20s having conversations about, should you do it? What is the, it was a whole conversation. It wasn't just kind of like, this is what happens, you know?
I agree. I think that was a conversation that happened in the 90s into the 2000s. But now it's just like, whatever, now. But in a certain time in our lives, like high school into college, it was definitely very rare that it would happen.
But that's what I'm thinking. But then when we have an episode like Insecure, when this is still a conversation, these are grown women having this conversation, is it still taboo or is it happening frequently? And it, you know, like, cause that's why I was confused with the whole episode. And even with the way she reacted, it was just like, oh my God. And she flipped out and thought it was so disrespectful. Don't you ever do that. You know, so.
I mean, we're literally merging two different points here. Giving head is not necessarily the grossest thing ever. That's not the problem. She liked him. She was feeling him sexually. She wanted to please him. For me, it's the fact that you could have came anywhere and you decided to squirt it in her eye. That is not, in my opinion, something you just do without you guys discussing how someone feels about that.
All right. First of all, nobody, no guy comes in a chick's eye intentionally unless it's a porn. So he was hands-free. He was Bluetooth. You saw the scene. He didn't have his hands on her head or her neck, none of that. His hands were, you know, behind his head or kind of, you know, he was, you know, taking a bat, whatever.
Bluetooth.
Yeah, I call it Bluetooth. All right. So, you know, what ended up happening is he was coming. And she didn't know. So when it happened, she moved it out the way and caught it in the eye. That's what happened.
Buckshot.
Yeah. And then again, I mean, you know, ejaculation is like urine. Like, you don't, from a man's standpoint, you don't know where it's going to go. It might be a lot. It might be a little. Who knows? So it wasn't his intention to do that. But he wasn't necessarily remorseful about it either until she flipped out. So, I mean, my thing is, it's kind of funny if that's somebody you're comfortable with, somebody you've been with for a while, whatever. He didn't mean to do it intentionally, but again, I don't think she thought the act all the way through, and she didn't necessarily, sometimes there's head for foreplay, and then sometimes there's head for ejaculation. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes it's like, I'm on my period, let me just suck you off real quick, you good, I made you happy, cool, we going to sleep. Sometimes it's the, let me just, you know, you eat me out, I suck you off, now we ready to get it in. So we don't know what the whole game plan was, you know, fictitiously. But I think that at the end of the day, if you're going to go for it, I mean, you got to expect, you know, shit like that can happen. And sometimes there are ground rules laid down. Don't come on my hair. You can come on me, but make sure it's like between here and here, you know.
But is that for, we need to have like a white person on the show, because is that the same rules apply? You know, are we the ones in our community that has all these rules of what to do, what not to do? Or is it something, I mean, that's what I want to know. Like, is it a situation where we still are hung up on sexual taboos?
I think that, again, it's individual to the person. I think that there are sexual taboos, but not for everyone. Some people are just more free. I think the other part to it, though, is that there's a lot of slut shaming, like you said. It is not cool. I was going to say it's not cool to be a slut, but times are changing where it is a little bit more acceptable, and it's not even necessarily called a slut, but it just depends on the circle you travel in.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, if you have sex on your first date, does that make you a slut?
No, not in my opinion. I didn't have sex on the first date, but I would say maybe two dates in, I had sex with my husband and we got married. But then I've heard many stories of people that...
Chris says first date, though.
It was not, though. He lies. He lies. It wasn't. But I mean, if I had a daughter, I wouldn't want her to do it, obviously. But then, like I was saying, there are many stories of women who do have sex on the first date and live happily ever after. I don't think that the rules apply anymore.
Mike, chime in, please. As a man,
98% of the time you have sex first time out with a dude, it's not going to result in anything. So let me explain something to you about courting. When you're courting a woman, first of all, a man is supposed to holler at a chick. Okay. Now, not to say that a woman can't be flirtatious, bat her eyelashes, whatever, but a man's supposed to make the first move. If you give it up too quickly, we feel like you don't necessarily value yourselves. Now, granted, it might have been somebody, you know, we've been eyeballing for a long time, whatever. You know, we have this, you know, made up image of who you are, what you are, whatever. But most of the time, we hit the first night, it's not going to be very successful from there.
Hold on. I have heard this said many times that a man knows before they have sex, before anything, first date, first looking at them, whether they are going to take it seriously with that person or not.
Not true. Men are, we are visually stimulated. First, visually stimulated. That's why we look at you and be like, ooh, you know, whatever. So that's off the break. Once we talk to you, you may be crazy, or you may be super intelligent, you may be dope, maybe friend zone. But the first thing we do is we're looking at you and thinking, oh man, is she smashable? That's off the break. That's off the rip. We're thinking, is it smash time? And, you know, again, I'm not saying that our end game is to have sex, but it is certainly, you know, on our radar.
So, okay, I've never had sex on the first. I've never been compelled to a man to, I'm like, gotta give it to you.
Just make me out to be the only one.
No, but you're the exception to the rule because you got married to your husband. But again, that's a very rare situation.
Was the only time I ever did it.
We'll see.
And it wasn't the first night.
And it worked out for you. According to your husband, it was. We're going to go with him.
Yeah, we're going to go with Chris on this. But, I mean... Yeah, I said, and it becomes that situation because we know we're in the age of the whole stripper, right, culture. Like, it's acceptable. Like, strippers are now, like, wifeys, right? Before it was like, you know, you're not going to wife a stripper. But now it's become so acceptable, and I think that, you know, because of hip-hop and so forth, things have become a little bit more lenient when it comes to, I guess, slut shaming. But I feel like when there's an argument of some sort, that's the first thing guys go to. You know what I mean? If they're it's like, you're a slut, you're a hoe. You know, like if you hear Jocelyn and Stevie J fight, that's the first, you know, that's where he's going.
But then the confusing part with that is, but look at Cardi B. She's getting wifed. Amber Rose has had several men. I mean, look at Blac Chyna. She is like a thought queen right now. Like, she's the goddess of all thoughts.
And it's celebrated, you know, in hip hop. But outside of hip hop, outside of that world, what?
Kim Kardashian. Again, another hoe that is celebrated.
Yes, she is. She is celebrated.
I don't celebrate these hoes.
Yeah, you know what I mean? But then I said, outside of that, like, hip-hop world, because Kim Kardashian is married to a hip-hop artist, she is part of that hip-hop celebrity world, the average Joe Schmo, they're looking at a chick, and they're going to be like, she's a hoe, right? Like, just off the bat.
Yeah, and it's like, she's a hoe, am I going to wife her? Or is she a hoe and I'm going to smash her? Like, that's the thing. Like, she's a hoe. Oh, I'd smash if I had the opportunity, or is she a hoe and I'm going to turn into a housewife? That's ridiculous. That's, you know, and that's the term. Like, you know,
you don't think that's possible?
To turn a hoe into a housewife?
Yes. I know some retired hoes most of the hoes I know are married.
Yeah, but what we do is we drop the whole stigma on a man. Oh, he's grown up. He's a family man. Now he settles down. We never drop the whole stigma on a female. You born a hoe, you die a hoe. Like, you know, you sitting at somebody's funeral like, yo, I remember I smashed her, yo, 47 years ago. She was a hoe then, she a hoe in the ground. Like, that's...
That's not fair.
No. I mean, but I don't think life is fair, and I don't think that God designed us to be the same. I think that, I mean, we created differently. We created to balance each other. We're not created equal. We're created to balance each other.
I don't feel like we're being fair. This is not woman powerly. Like, what justifies a woman as a hoe? Yeah. Like, what...
If you sleep with multiple dudes over a short amount of time or overlapping, that makes you a hoe. If you sell your you a hoe.
Oh, no. Goodbye. Done with
my... Overlapping? What do you mean overlapping?
If me, my mans, and my mans' man smashed.
Man, okay. So if she... And she's not in a relationship with you, right? She hooks up. You guys been, you know, on and off, high school, whatever, whatever. You guys hook up out one night. She has sex with you, right? Boom. 3 days later, she's, you know, on the outs with her boyfriend or whatever, and she gets back with her boyfriend and she smashes her boyfriend. That makes her a hoe?
No, that makes her my hoe. Now, why does that make...
She's your hoe?
She's my hoe because... She's with the ex-boyfriend. There's some complication with them. We hanging out, but again, like you said, we have history.
Yes.
So she's not necessarily a hoe in that particular situation. But if she sleeps with me on day one, ex-boyfriend on day four, and then day seven, I would another dude and gives him head in the car, she's a hoe.
There's double standards, and when do we let go of these double standards? How could that... You could smash four chicks in 1 week and you're considered okay, it's cool? Like,
No. I think dudes have, you know, hoe issues as well. I just think that it's less accepted for a female to have, you know, the hoe stamp. You know, I mean, I'm not saying we celebrate man hoe. What I will say is that we teach our daughters to be wives, but we don't teach our men or our boys to be husbands. So because we don't teach husbandry, because we teach the subservience and the obedience of women in relationship to following men, it basically champions the man on, you know, conquering whatever he's trying to conquer, be it school, be it a sport, be it females. We don't champion the same thing to a female. So even, you know, what's the young lady who won the tennis thing the other day?
Sloan.
Uh-huh. Okay, so she won $3.7 million. Mm-hmm. We're celebrating that because it's black women in tennis. Mm-hmm. There are black women in a bunch of other things that we don't necessarily celebrate because sports is a man thing. If we took that,
but that's
and said,
why we have total packs to celebrate those women.
No, agree. All right? And I, you know, I believe you guys have a great place in the community for that. But I think that there's always going to be a double standard because our expectations of women are higher than our expectations of ourselves. And I think that justly so for two reasons. Women bring forth life. Y'all bring children into existence. Like, that's not something God gave us the ability to do. So we feel like you should treat yourselves and treat your bodies with a different level of respect than we do ourselves. Although, while the bar is high for you guys, we should raise our own bar up to your same standard. So I don't think it's that we think of you as less than. We actually think of ourselves as less than.
Okay. All right. Sex drive is sex drive, right? So as a woman, if you have a strong sex drive as a man, like, what are you supposed to do? Suppress that? Are you supposed to suppress that because you're supposed to be, quote unquote, womanly and whatever that supposed to, you know, whatever that meaning is?
Yeah, I don't know. I struggle because I don't necessarily think that women should just sleep around and sleep with anybody. However, I think that if you do, then do it. That's what you choose to do. Just be safe with it. I don't really judge when it comes to stuff like that because it's not my body. I don't care. And you're right. If a woman's sex drive is strong and she just wants that pleasure, then that's her decision to do so. But I think what also come where the labeling comes in is how you carry yourself afterwards. If you act like, oh, don't call me a hoe, oh, I'm embarrassed, and then you're more likely to open yourself up to that scrutiny. If you're more like Amber Rose, like, yeah, I did it, so what? I think people accept it more because you accepted it. And I think that that's where the difference comes in. Yes, the hip hop world may have added to Amber, Kim, Black China, but it's also the fact that they've accepted it and they sell it to us. And now they got people wanting to be just like it. You know, it's how you put it out there.
I mean, I definitely think times have changed. I definitely think that, you know, with Amber Rose and Drea and all of these, you know, women who, I mean, what did Drea say? That her hoedom is in the past or something, mm-hmm. right? It was something like that along those lines. But it is something you have to own if that's how you're going to carry yourself, right? If you are going to be, you know, have a sexual prowess about you, you should own it and carry it. I think that there is always going to be kind of like this super double standard that we have to kind of break, because I mean, it's unfair, you know, but no one wants their daughter to be sleeping with men here and there, you know, all over the place without having some kind of respect. But if I know men who know that girls are hoes, you know, well, let's just say hoes, who sleep around, and they be like, yeah, well, you know, she bought that money, or she, they'll like excuse it for whatever reason. I don't know if, and if someone wipes it, they're like, yeah, well, she bought that money. He know if he were her, she bought that money. And that's it. And that's kind of like the title they put on it.
I think some women are just freer with their bodies, you know, and I think some dudes are mad free. Like, I'm not saying it. I don't think the double standard is in the actual act. I think the double standard is in the thought behind the act. So if a woman's bought her money and she wants to live a certain lifestyle, she feels like having sex with dudes will garner that lifestyle, then, you know, we might not necessarily agree with it, but we understand it. But it's dudes hoeing too. It's dudes that, you know, drive a certain kind of car, and their wife might make 100 plus, or their girl might make 100 plus. You know, it's definitely dudes out here just, you know, trying to get a coin. It's just a little more discreet, and it's I don't think it's seen the same way. Like, you don't see dudes walking around with a bunch of jewelry on, and, you know, it's not the same kind of flossing. You got what I'm saying?
Well, you're talking about there are men out here who are sleeping with women to be taken care of?
Agreed. Absolutely.
That's a big thing in Baltimore for some reason. I don't know. But
shots fired.
I'm sorry. Like, I've lived in several different cities, and I'm just like, what? You do what?
I think that's because Baltimore has a large group of professional women and a shortage of professional men, you know, so women are willing to, you know, realign their expectations based on the fact. I mean, I think the same thing happens in Atlanta. You know, there are a lot of dudes out there that, you know, necessarily don't want women or whatever. Probably San Francisco, same thing. So women are willing to, you know, adjust their expectations and, you know, willing to take care of a dude. Like, that's just not how we grew up, how we, you know, where we come from.
So a question, you know, when it comes to the sexual taboos, right? And there are things that women, doesn't you feel like it limits your sexual experience? If, you know, we keep holding on to these sexual taboos and you know, it's like this connection is kind of lost. You know what I mean? When you're not able to do certain things with your partner because you're scared that he may think of you in a certain type of way.
Yeah, like I was saying, I think that it's not necessarily the act, it's the thought behind the act. Like, what is he going to think of me if, you know, I let him, or I want him to you know, ass, let's say that's
goodness
it.
Gracious,
yeah, just keep so, it, just keep it, keep
can
it
we
gangster.
Just say anal sex, okay?
It just sounded, but it sounded more aggressive the way I said it. I mean, that's so you may be around your girlfriend's like, girl, I think I want to have anal sex, and he's around his homeboys like, she want me a fucking ass, straight up. So you know, so how we even explain it and the connotation behind the explanation is different. You know what I mean? So like you talking about with your husband, but he get around his homeboys. Actually, I would hope that he never has that conversation with his homeboys, but dudes do talk, dudes running mouth. So, you know, I think that the issue is really taking the closeness and the intimacy of sex and making it public information. So the reason we know about the Kim and Ray J situation is because they got a tape. So that also, you know, brought down or demoralized the sex in their situation because they basically had sex for money. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but people probably, but people look at it like, well, Kim was also not black. You know what I mean? I'm talking about these sexual taboos when it comes to black women,
right?
Oh, I
agree.
So
there's definitely taboos.
Had sex with other women that were not African-American, Mike?
Mike's a virgin.
Right. Microphone on fire.
Yeah, I have.
And have you seen a difference in just how open they are sexually? Or has it been no difference?
I think it also, well, yes and no. Well, let me say this. I would say years ago that, you know, other cultures and other races were a little more free. I think now the black girls, you know, embrace their freak. And I think that because black women are in competition with each other, for whatever reason, some women are, you know, are less afraid to do certain things. than, you know, when I was in high school and I was in college. When I was, I'm telling you, head was just a dream in high school and in early college. Like, mm-hmm. that shit didn't exist in the black community, at least not to my knowledge. But as I got older, it was just regular. Like, it was just, a part of sex. Whereas, like I said, in high school, I have a friend of mine. He was like, man, every time I had sex, I get head. And granted, you know, I was in high school. I had, a high school girlfriend. I'm thinking to myself, what am I doing wrong that every time he has sex, he gets head and I'm not getting head? Yeah. And then you think to yourself, okay, how comfortable is a man telling a woman how he wants to, his fellatio? You know what I'm saying? So do you want somebody that comes to you already with the best, sloppiest head ever? Or do you want to have a chick, biting your head, biting you and But I'm just saying, like, having an uncomfortable experience, and then you not being able to tell her, hey, this wasn't so good. So I really think that the bigger issue is intimacy within the relationship, no matter how, no matter the race of the sex. But I feel like, in agreement with what you're saying, that we are afraid to have those conversations in the black community, same way as we're afraid to have the conversations about mental health. And some of those doors are being broken down, but still, it's still a slow race that we're running in order to have those intimate conversations. And a lot of those conversations come outside the bedroom and go to the homeboys, go to the homegirls, and that's when it becomes raunch and people are having judgments about it. What do you think?
I agree. I do agree with what you're saying, and I think that in general, in the black community, that we are just not is open to things like you said, mental health or just sexual openness and all of those things. So it does create a situation where a woman feels uncomfortable doing certain things for a fear of being labeled, and the labels are unfortunate. Like we said, if a white girl does it, nobody really says anything. She's not really a hoe. She's just doing what's natural in her group of friends, but like I said earlier, the problem again comes in where now when you're older and you're an adult and you're doing these things, you still have those stigmas in the back of your head. Well, if I do this, is he gonna now label me as X, Y, and Z? But if you don't do it, then you're boring.
And I said, like, even with conversations, right? Because I'm very vocal, right? I like to have conversations with my partner about about sex. It's not gonna be a situation where there's going to be any type of confusion or expectations.
So you'll like say, hey, I like it this way.
Yeah. And that's what I want to ask you, because you're very uncomfortable with this conversation, right? Janine is extremely uncomfortable conversation, which I'm surprised, because I feel like someone who's married would not be uncomfortable, right? Because at this point in time, like, you've been with your husband for, you said 7 years or so, 8 years, it should be like, oh yeah, do you guys, when you guys got together, did you guys talk about sex, or was it just kind of like a trial and error situation?
You know what? It's funny, because when I met him, I was 23. So my maturity level was definitely not where it is now. So to even think to talk about how you want to have sex and how you like it and stuff, I had just started having sex maybe 4 years prior, So if it was even 4 years, I don't even know if it was 4 whole years. So no, we didn't. However, at 31 now, if I was just meeting someone and we were having, I probably would, yeah. Because you need to know. That whole trial and error thing, a lot of relationships end because of it. Like, they have sex one time and they're like, oh no, this isn't gonna work. But I can't imagine how the conversation would go, because I've never had one. So that's why I was really surprised that you said, I'm very vocal, we wanna talk about this. Like, so just out of curiosity, if you decide, oh, I'm gonna give something special tonight, we're gonna talk about this before I do it, because this is how.
I think it's conversations like over, the months or the weeks, that we're dating and courting. So it becomes, and sometimes it is a mood breaker, but I'm not, I'm like, listen, we're gonna have a conversation because this is what I expect. These are my expectations, Oh yeah.
You have sexual expectations?
Yes. Like, we are together. If we're going into that, I'm not sharing. I'm not a sharer, So it's like, if we're going on that path, this is where we need to be, or we don't need to be intimate.
I think that's very mature of you. I do. I think that, but you know what? I think that also probably comes with a lot of experience, not sexual experience, but just experience of dating. And after a while, you lose your patience. And you're like, look, up front, this is what I want. This is what I like. Can you handle it? Yes or no?
Yeah. I mean, I think, you know, sometimes when women are in, you know, their 20s and, you know, people are still trying to find themselves and insecure about, you know, who they are, their body or whatever it is, or what they expect from a guy, they don't want to piss the person off, then the person, you know, because guys will play tricks and be manipulative. And, you know, want to have their cake and eat it too. So some girls may say, I'm not going to say this because I still want to deal with him. And if I say this, he's not going to mess with me. So, I'm going to, you know, compromise myself because I really want to stay in this situation because I really like him. Listen, you know, this is what it is. If you don't like that, you know, where I'm at, then we should not be together.
So then that brings me to another question. If you do it, you don't like it, obviously you're vocal and you say, hey, I didn't like this and that about it. Let's try it another way. I can understand that. But what if it's something more that he couldn't control? Like maybe he ejaculates too fast or maybe he's sized a little smaller. Are you vocal about things like that?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I'm not gonna say, you know, you have, you know, you're too little or something like that. I mean, I think, you know, but if there's some issues, you know, as I said, I date men who are over 35, you know, and when you start getting over 35, there tends to be things start working as well. So,
oh my God.
Yeah, unfortunately. Get ready. Anyway, you know, you have those type of conversations. I think when, you know, I was younger and things like that happen, I would just, we just kind of ignore it. Like, oh, the elephant in the room, right? But as you get older and if you're dealing with those kind of complications, then you do say, so what are we gonna do about this? You know, and you don't make the person feel embarrassed or anything like that, but you say, hey, you know, you know, try to be a little bit patient, and then you, okay, so there's an issue. So what are we going to do about it? What do we need to do to make this happen? You know, so, you know, to leave the launch pad, like, you know, what do we actually need to do? And some guys, you know, may be embarrassed by it and not deal with it, be in denial. Or there may be, you know, a person who's just like, yeah, like what, you know, I need to do A, B, C, and D. I haven't run into that a lot, but, you know, it has happened once and the person was in denial.
I'll say, you know, I'm making fun of it, but I do agree. If you can't be mature enough to talk about the sex, then you shouldn't be having it. And that just is what it is. Like, I don't understand. And I remember, like, young, when I first started having sex, and you do it, but you don't enjoy it. And I don't understand why these girls are doing it. Why are you having sex if you're not enjoying it? What are you getting out of it? You know, as you get older, you learn what you like about it. And then you should communicate, you know, to the guy what you feel and what you want it to feel like. So I just say all that to say that you should definitely communicate about it.
Yeah, it just becomes a conversation. And I said, it deals with maturity. It deals with your security within yourself and what you want and what you feel. You said you when you're like younger and is you know, you're not unhappy with the sex, you don't really say anything. It's kind of like I said, like the elephant in the room. So, I mean, being a married woman, you have open conversations with your husband. I mean, does sex change over the times, or is it still taboo? You guys don't say certain things because he may not want to offend you that he likes it a certain way or so forth. How does that work?
Oh, well, no. At this point, it's not even necessarily like what I would call like a sit down conversation. It's like, hey, babe, I ain't like that. Next time, don't do it. I mean, and it's like, okay. You know, it's not as in depth of a hey, you know, but it definitely took some time to get there. I'm not going to say that we just woke up one day and it was a walk in the park and an easy thing to talk about, you know? And then here's the other part. In the beginning, like the first 4 years, sex is amazing. Like, you know, this is still new. You're like humping like bunnies, you know? And then obviously things slow down. You start having kids, and then that's when the conversations have to be had. I don't remember exactly at what point the conversations happened, but I do know that right after around my son turning about 3 or 4, I kind of was like overwhelmed and tired, you know, and I was thinking about cleaning and kids and homework and all those things. So I wasn't thinking, you know, let me have sex every day. And he had to pull me aside and say, you know, babe, it's been a week. And it's been like this consistently, you know. So obviously he could have not said anything. He could just went out and had sex with somebody else. So those things are important to talk about as well.
Yeah, I mean, because I know that there are my married male friends, sometimes they get frustrated with their wives, you know, because they may try to have the conversation and their wife may not be open or accepting of the conversation. So then they end up going out and getting their pleasure elsewhere. And then they're like, oh, our marriage is great because I have been relieving myself doing other things. So, I mean, we have a great relationship, but the sexual relationship may not be up to par, but he relieves himself elsewhere and then just keeps the relationship with his wife.
Yeah, that's sad. I don't like that at all. And obviously that is something that we all know happens quite often. No, I don't believe that that's the only reason why men cheat. You know, there are a lot of other reasons involved, but I do think that that is one major part of it. Women just sometimes you get so caught up in being a boss or being a mom or whatever it is that you forget what you're supposed to be when you're a girlfriend, or you forget what it was like to be the new wife. And men don't forget. They're like, nope, I remember this time, 2008, you were doing this and standing on your head and doing backflips, and now we do it once a month, you know? I think that you should always keep it sexy and keep it interesting, like role play, you know, do those things. And sometimes role play is taboo, but why? Why is it taboo, you know? Or like, why not wear the sexy lingerie to bed? Or, you know, I wrap my hair at night, but not every time. Like, sometimes you might want to let it out, or sometimes go to sleep with makeup on. And these are all things I had to learn. I'm not saying that I, you know, was perfect with this, but you do want to keep him enticed. It's enticed, especially when you've been in a relationship for a long time.
Yeah, and I said, I think sometimes with the sexual taboos that we may have in our community, that it kind of hinders relationships, you know, and it falls into marriage and whatever, you know, whatever else goes on in our head because of the afterthought, right? Or the you know, what we think that, you know, my husband may think about me, or whether you think about yourself, or, you know, because I said there's all these other outside things that are going on instead of you having that relationship and that partnership with your partner, you know, to have an open and honest conversation about everything. So I just feel like, you know, when we talk about sexual taboos, I was surprised that this was even an episode on Insecure, because I'm like, wow, we're you know, when I was a teenager, these were, you know, things that were still considered, oh my God, or and I just didn't think that fast forward how many years later, this will still be an episode on a really popular show, but it still shows the stigma that is attached to the sexual taboos that happens within our community.
I mean, again, I don't know that it's taboo to not want to get nut in your eye. I think that that is common courtesy, and
but as Mike said, you know, that's not something that is a you know, my girlfriend, my girlfriend and I were talking about the episode on over the weekend. And she was just like, well, where did she expect it to go? Like, I mean, she was just, and that was her take on it, right? And I just laughed at her, but she was just like, well, I mean, what did she expect? Like, why did she get so upset? That's so immature of her. So as I said, it really depends on a person, and it really depends on what our comfortability is when it comes to sexuality and these kinds of things. And I feel like sometimes we are, as I said, that episode showed me that we still have those issues within our community. We are still not as free and open to talk about sex because, as I said, you got really uncomfortable with this episode. And I'm like, why are you uncomfortable? You're the married woman. You know what I mean? Like, why would you be the most uncomfortable? But that's I said that is what you have going on with you, you know. And I said other other people may feel the same type of way, you know? And I said, we're still having these conversations 2017 about where, you know, the ejaculation goes, you know, like that's an episode that was hilarious, but we have to break those sexual taboos within our community, because I think it really does hinder some of our relationships. So that's kind of my take on it. We'd love to hear your feedback. As I said, make sure you subscribe to Unwrapped podcast. We have lots of great listeners and followers, and I'm really, really, as I said, I'm loving the feedback. So make sure you subscribe to us, and make sure you go to tpthemag.com. We have a sale going on, some really great stuff.
Yeah, we have a lot of new articles up. So go over there and check it out. We touch on every topic of life, every category that you can think of. You know, we have our Mogul Mondays going on. We have a few intimacy articles that have gone up, lifestyle events around the city, fashion, beauty, makeup. Then we have fitness and singles. So just head over there, check it out, and hope that you like it.
All right, next time we'll see you. Pete, Chris, take us out.